Hebrews chapter 12. I'd like to preach the bulk of my message this morning from Hebrews chapter 12, but before I get started in this particular chapter, I would like to jump you just a few pages to the right to James chapter 1. Now hold your finger here in Hebrews 12, but first just take a moment. James chapter 1, I'd like you to focus your attention in upon verse 12. James 1, 12. The Bible says this. Now listen to this. It says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." The Bible tells us, not only here in this passage, but many scriptures, that this life is a test. Do you understand that the things that you're going through now, the calamities, the problems, let's say around the house when the washing machine breaks down and the car blows a gasket and all of a sudden there's rumors at work that you're getting laid off and they're going to raise the rent and all these problems crash down on you, this is a test. The Bible says, again, many places throughout the scriptures that we are being tested here and now. Now, this is where everything in the Bible comes into proper perspective, because we have to look through everything that is so temporary, so short, from that eternal perspective. We're going to leave everything behind. Well, about 30 years ago, I started reading the Bible. I was raised in a religious home. We were actually told from the pulpit that you couldn't understand the Bible, so it's better for you not to read the Bible on your own. We'll tell you what the Bible says. But I started reading the Bible, and I found out that a lot of the things that they were teaching was not in accord with Scripture. And I changed accordingly, and I got saved. I became a Christian. I came to Luke 18, 9 through 14, where Jesus said, "Two went up into the temple to pray, and the one that sincerely prayed from his heart, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner.' Jesus said that man went home justified rather than the other." And I thought, I never done that. I always tried to get to God by going through the priest. But Jesus said the man went home justified by going directly to God. I knew it couldn't be wrong because Jesus said that. So I got down on my knees. I sincerely prayed. I repented. I told God, "I'm turning from the wickedness that I'm in. And Father, I'm going to serve you throughout the rest of my life here on earth and throughout all eternity." I'm telling you, it was like a bomb went off inside me. I didn't even know what happened. At that time, I'd never heard the word saved. Never. I sat back down, started reading the scriptures. Within the next year, 5 members of my family were dead. 5 were dead. It wasn't long afterwards, my father died of a heart attack. I was just talking with him. 5 minutes later, he died. 3.5 weeks later, my grandfather died. My aunt died 5 months after that. I had 2 more distant relatives die the same year, and my only brother, I only have one brother, no sisters, he got converted into a cult and wanted to convert me. I'm a baby Christian. The Bible says this life is a test. Troubles, problems will crash down on all of us, not just me, all of us. If it didn't happen to you yet, it's going to happen. Just like it happened here in the scriptures. But let me tell you the rest of the story. Had a hunger for the scriptures naturally, and because my brother wanted to convert me, I spent more and more time in the Bible. And I'm telling you, my eyes were really opened up to things. I started going out on the streets, street preaching. I started going door to door by myself. I couldn't find any Christians to go with at that particular time. Thank God I did find a Christian. And we spent about 7 years together out on the streets, going door to door until I quit my job, went to Bible school, got ordained and pastored for almost 7 years. Now, I've seen a lot of things happen in my Christian life. Now listen very carefully. Please listen to this. I've seen a lot of things happen in 30 years of seriously walking with God, not playing a game. See, I know this is real. I forgot to tell you this. Now, this is important too. I had 5 doctors tell me I would never get better from an injury I had in my upper back. I got prayer and Almighty God healed my body, something that 5 doctors said would never happen. So I know that God is alive. I know Jesus is alive. I know we have a soul. I know we're going to stand before God one day. I know the Bible is true. And I know this life is a test. I know you are being tested. I know I'm being tested. And I know that I'm going to have to stand before the God of this Bible and account one day for the various things I will say today, tonight, Monday and Tuesday. It's very serious. Very serious. This short life will determine where we spend eternity. And your life could be ended at any time. Any time. Hebrews chapter 12. Starting at verse 1. The Bible says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Now, verse 4 is a key verse. Focus in upon verse 4. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Now, that is a heavy-duty verse, you have to admit. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Now, imagine what it must have been like back in first century Christianity for the recipients of the book of Hebrews. If you ever read this book and studied the historical context of this particular book of the New Testament, they were under great pressure to return to the synagogue. Great pressure. And some did go back. The inspired writer of the book of Hebrews, he's telling these people, you're in a struggle against sin. Now notice, that's a good concise way to describe the Christian life. A struggle against sin. Now in Ephesians chapter 6, it says we're struggling or wrestling against the forces of darkness. So you could tie the two together and say that the Christian life is a struggle against sin and the forces of darkness. What a revelation it was for me to find out that the devil is not in hell yet. Now he's going to be thrown into the lake of fire, but he's not there yet. Peter said he prowls around throughout the whole earth seeking whom he can devour. Be alert and self-controlled, the Bible says. Be alert and self-controlled. You be alert and self-controlled is what Peter said. It's real, friends. Jesus is alive. You have a soul and the devil is trying to devour people. Now, Hebrews 12:4 says, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. But if you back up just one chapter, you'll read about some that did shed their blood resisting sin. Let's back up just one chapter. Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 34. Now, this is one of my favorite sections of the entire Bible. This is Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 34. I'll start right in the middle of the verse. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some face jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in the deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. These were all commended for their faith. Wow, isn't that something? There's a whole lot of people that think that if you don't get everything you pray for, it's because you don't have faith. He's saying here in the faith chapter, it says over here in the faith chapter, they were commended for their faith. What kind of faith did they have? They had an enduring faith. They went through trouble, opposition, out in the caves, the mountains. Imagine that. Destitute, persecuted, mistreated, and they endured all that. Hallelujah. That's the kind that's in heaven, brothers and sisters. Are you listening to me? These are overcomers right here. Before my dear wife and I got married, I told my wife, I said, before it's all over with, we're sticking with God. Whatever happens, we're staying with God. And before it's all over with, we might be living in a cave. Based on this passage right here, but one thing we're going to do is stay with Jesus. Jesus is our hope. We have life in Jesus, and outside of Him, there's only death and darkness, pain and hell. Amen? Isn't it true? Wow. These people over here, how about being tortured and being told, we're going to go ahead and let you go now. You got to renounce your faith. You can go back to the synagogue. We'll let you go back to the synagogue. Now, but the thing is here, you got to stop this Jesus stuff. Well, the Bible says here, it says they refused to be released. They refused to be released from the torture. These are some people that had a revelation of truth, of God, of this whole thing that we're in now. That a lot of people in our day just don't have a grip of. They have no even close understanding of what is revealed right there in that chapter. We're talking about something so big. We're talking about forever. I like to think about eternity this way. When you're driving down a highway and you look out on a hillside and you see all those leaves from all those trees, if every leaf was 10,000 years, and you added up all those leaves, you would have a very, very large number. And then every blade of grass that ever grew, 10,000 years, and you add that to all the leaves, you got a much, much larger number. And then if you add to that, let's say, every raindrop and snowflake that ever fell from God's heaven, 10,000 years for each one of them, and that number grows some more. And you can go on and on and on with other things. That's just the very beginning of eternity. Now, because I studied in depth what's going to happen to the people that are going to end up in hell, there's going to be eternal conscious torment forever. And that word forever is a mind blow. You're going to spend forever in God's paradise kingdom, or you're going to spend forever in fiery torment. Now, one of the greatest shocks that I've ever seen in the Bible, and it hit me when I first started reading the scriptures, it was in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Why don't we just take a moment and turn to Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14? This is what the Lord Jesus said. If there was ever an authority, it was the Lord Jesus. Jesus said this, he said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate, narrow the road that leads to life, only a few will find it. Now notice Jesus is contrasting few with many. Only few, only the minority, are going to enter God's paradise kingdom. Jesus said the majority are going to hell. Now, this is what hit me when I first started reading the Bible. If I don't love God more than most people, I'm going to end up in hell with the majority. Isn't that what that's saying? I could show you other scriptures that could be tied to that. Now, here's something very, very interesting. I don't know if you ever noticed this or not. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, reading from a few other translations, I want you to see that there are some truths that are revealed from other translations that might not be easily seen, let's say, from some of the most popular ones, like the one I'm reading from, which is the NIV, or even the KJV. It says, narrow is the gate. Did you know that that word narrow, it actually means constricted, and it can be correctly translated, difficult is the road that leads to life, or hard is the road that leads to life. In fact, the New King James Version says, difficult is the way which leads to life. The Contemporary English Version says, the gate to life is very narrow. The road that leads there is so hard to follow that only a few people find it. Today's English Version says, the gate to life is narrow, the way that leadeth to it is hard. The Revised Standard Version says, the way is hard that leads to life. The Bible in Basic English says, narrow is the door and hard the road to life, and only a small number make discovery of it. Holman's translation says, difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it. One more. The International Standard Version says, how narrow is the gate and how constricted is the road that leads to life, and few are the people who find it. So men, on that job site, when the ungodly, blasphemous, pornographic, loving people around you are telling their dirty jokes and they're acting just as wicked as anybody out on the street, don't join in with them. Seek God's favor over anything man might say or do to you. See, this life is a test. You're going to be tested on that job. You're going to be tested among your loved ones. Jesus said that don't think that he came to bring peace, but a sword. He said, I came to divide families. My family was split because I made a stand for Jesus. My wife's family was ripped apart because she made a stand for Jesus. I'm telling you, that's what will happen most of the time. Not always. In some cases, I've seen where one person will come to God and the whole family gets saved. But most of the times, I've observed in 30 years, it doesn't happen like that. But you have to be willing to pay that price if necessary. God is more important. Jesus is alive. You have a soul. Jesus said, what shall a man gain if he gains the whole world and loses himself and is cast away? Your most precious possession is not your bank account. It's not your physical health. It's not your reputation, what people think about you. It's what God thinks. It's where you are with God. Blessed is the man that perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Love him. We're being told in our dark hour that God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Folks, listen to me. The emphasis in the Bible is, do you love God? That's the emphasis. Do you love God? Blessed is the man that perseveres under trial, because when he stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. All right. I want to give you a chapter, one of my all-time favorites. For 30 years, I've been reading the New Testament. This is one of the most stirring chapters, right from the very beginning of my Christian life, right to present day. Matthew chapter 10. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. It starts out, it says, he called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Now the next verse says, these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Now, stop right there. Go over to chapter 11, verse 1. Chapter 11, verse 1 says, after Jesus had finished instructing the 12 disciples, so what you read in between in chapter 10 is Jesus speaking to the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples. It's crystal clear. It says that before and it says it after. He is directing everything in this particular chapter to the 12 apostles. He's going to tell them what they are to do. He's sending them out and telling them what they need to do. And he's going to tell them what's going to happen along the way. As they're obedient to God, what you can expect. It's very laughable to me that I've run into people in my life that would imply that being a Christian is for a sissy. All they have to do is read Matthew chapter 10, and that should change things. In fact, I could take in many other chapters in the Bible, and all that would change. I want you to know it's the sissies that won't make a stand for God that are too cowardly to make a stand for the things of the Lord Jesus in the face of a bunch of ungodly men, blasphemous, pornographic loving, beer drinking, lying, hell-bound children of the devil, people that will blaspheme the holy name of Jesus. We're called to be a light, to be a witness in this dark age. While Jesus is sending the 12 out, and he told them in verse 7, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. He told them what to do as they're traveling along. He told them that they needed to be, according to verse 16, shrewd as snakes, as innocent as doves. Verse 17, be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you. When you see the word flog, you know what that means? That means beat bloody. That means that they were, he's telling them, he's sending his cream of the crop forward. He's saying, you're going to go forth with my message and you're going to be beat bloody. Now go. And you see, folks, we need to stop and realize that if you're going to serve Jesus right now during this time of testing, it's not going to be a bed of roses. There's going to be some hardship. There's going to be some trouble. The devil is going to try to make it as rough on you as he possibly can. I've seen all kind of people buckle under the pressure and go back. All kind. I've seen people that had testimonies that would shock you how God delivered them out of alcoholism and other problems like that. My wife and I just recently heard of a woman that used to be a prostitute, got saved, left her husband, went back to the world. All kind of things happen. We are in a very intense battle. In fact, it's going to become manifest by the time I get to the end of my several messages just how intense this battle is. It might surprise some of you. Jesus goes on and he said over there in verse 21, now I want you to notice verse 21. Jesus said, brother will betray brother to death and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Now, speaking now to the 12 disciples, you know what a disciple is, correct? Everybody here know what a disciple is? A disciple of the Lord Jesus is a Christian. That's what Jesus said. Jesus pointed to his disciples, tail end of chapter 12. He pointed to his disciples and he said, "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." That's Matthew chapter 12, 49 and 50. So he's now speaking this to his spiritual family, and he said this to them. He said, "All men will hate you because of me. He that endures to the end will get his reward." No, it doesn't say that. "He that endures to the end will keep his fellowship with God." No, it doesn't say that. Well, if it doesn't say that, how is it that so many people believe that? It says, "He that endures to the end shall be saved." You know what that means? That means he that endures to the end shall be saved. Do you know why Jesus said to those already saved that all men will hate you because of me? He that endures to the end will be saved. Jesus said that because it's true. That means that if you don't endure to the end, if I don't endure to the end, we're not going to be saved. Or Jesus lied. Now, somebody might take issue with that and say, "Now, wait a minute. Wait, hold it." But that's not all Jesus said. My wife and I, we give salvation tracts out wherever we go all the time. I've been doing that for almost 30 years. My wife has been doing it for around 18. I remember one very distinct occasion. A man pulled over to the post office. I went over to his car to hand him a salvation tract, and he told me he didn't need it. He was already saved. And I said something to him, and he fired back to me, John 3:16. A lot of people know about John 3:16, so let me mention John 3:16. "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him would not perish but have everlasting life." I used to read only the King James Bible. I don't read the King James Bible anymore because I'm able to understand reputable translations. There are a few of them out there that are reputable, that are in modern English. But I want you to know this. If you do have a King James, that word "believeth," that's in a present tense. That means it's a continuous tense. That means that Jesus said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever continues to believe on Jesus would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus said, "You're going to have to continue to believe on him," in John 3:16, "so you won't perish." John 3:16 does not teach that if you have a moment of faith in Jesus any time in your life, that you are guaranteed an entrance into heaven. In fact, I want to say this. Now listen to me. This is no kind of exaggeration, no kind of boast. There is no argument that can stand up for the theology that if you have ever been regenerated, if you have ever had a moment of faith and become a Christian, that you are guaranteed an absolute entrance into the kingdom. Listen to this. My wife and I went out on a street not that long ago at a parade. And we're handing out salvation tracts left and right. And this guy followed me along and he said, "I want you to know that Jesus is my security." And I said to him, "Jesus is my security too. But I know that if I disown Jesus, Jesus will disown me." Look at Matthew 10, verse 33. Look at the same chapter, Matthew 10, verse 33. Look at verse 32 and 33. Verse 32, "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven." Somebody said, "Well, that can't happen. If you're a real Christian, you can't disown him." But folks, read the Bible. Peter disowned him 3 times. Don't tell me that can't happen. Don't just listen to the radio preachers. Don't just read the books out there and swallow what they say. Think. Your soul is on the line. This life is a test. He that endures to the end shall be saved. If you disown Jesus, Jesus will disown you. What happened to Peter? We get calls, we get emails, people very concerned, even crying. I fell away from God. I don't think I can come back. I want to come back. I repented. I'm not so sure God will take me back. We tell him, well, did God take Peter back? Peter disowned Jesus 3 times. God took him back, and God used him mightily. But the point is that we're in a very intense war. There are times that the enemy of your soul is going to work on the circumstances. And if you don't think he can do unbelievable things, read the book of Job. He's going to work on situations and circumstances and bring people and things just the way he wants. And all of a sudden, bam, he'll put the pressure on you like he did Peter. Peter's seen the miracles. Peter seen God in the flesh. He's seen the Lord Jesus walk on water. And Jesus said to him, come, Peter. And Peter got out of the boat, and Peter for a time walked on water. Peter heard demons cry out that Jesus was the Son of God. Now, folks, see, this is why just going to church on Sunday morning, that's great for Sunday morning. Thank God you're over here hearing the word. But you don't need it just once a week, folks. I got news for you. Man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Job said that he treasured the word of God more than his food. We need the word of God every day. Your soul is what you need to guard. Much more so than your natural body. You're going to die. I don't care if you exercise, if you eat health food, if you drink the best purified water in the world, you're still going to die. And if you're like most, you're going to go to hell. Now, I know this from reading the Bible. I know that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted. Isn't that what Paul said, 2 Timothy 3:12? How many people here want to live godly for Christ Jesus? Okay, well, I see a few hands, about 15. You got to live godly, and if you live godly, you're going to be persecuted, hated, excluded, insulted, maybe flogged. Maybe you'll be stoned to death like Stephen. How about that? God let Stephen be stoned to death. But the Bible says, blessed in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That was great for Stephen. He got out of this world, eh? He got out of here. Went home. This life is not our home. This is a battlefield. We're in a fight. In your struggle against sin, resist the devil. We get emails from people, they say, every man is lustful. Sometimes I write back and I say, if every man is lustful, then every man's an adulterer and every man's on the road to hell. Just because they're lustful doesn't mean that every man's lustful. And if that's the case with you, man or woman, number one, shut TV off. What? Shut TV off? You're getting too extreme now. Now, folks, I love you, and I'm telling you, I love you from the depths of my heart. TV is one of the greatest tools that the devil has at this moment. It instills worldly values. Children learn how to lie. They learn how to deceive, how to seduce. They learn how to kill. Criminals get all kind of ideas. You see on TV not only violence, there's all kind of adultery. There's all kind of wickedness. It's right from the pit of hell. The devil is behind television. Well, somebody says, well, all I do with my TV is turn on religious stations and I watch religious TV 24 hours a day. I know a person that does that. He never shuts his TV off. It's on 24 hours a day. Religious station. What's on that station? I know what's on that station because that's down where we live. And there's a lot of bad, poisonous food going over those airwaves into his house. He'd be much better off if he opened the Bible with his loved one. If he's all by himself or she's all by herself, open the Bible up, read the Bible, and change accordingly. When you're reading the Bible, you're getting 100% truth. You got to learn to be like a Berean. Now, just because somebody's popular on TV, let's say Charles Stanley. Now, I think everybody heard Stanley. Very, very likable man. Nice man. Preached many a good sermon. But I got news for you, folks. There's a lot of things that Charles Stanley says that's not true. I have Stanley's book. Did you know that Charles Stanley said that weeping and gnashing of teeth in outer darkness is a realm in heaven for those that lose all of their rewards because of their adultery and because of their suicide? They're still going to heaven because they once had a moment of faith. But in heaven, they'll be weeping and gnashing their teeth in outer darkness. Charles Stanley, the popular Charles Stanley, who's everywhere, all over the world. Charles Stanley teaches you can stop believing in Jesus altogether. You don't even need faith in Jesus at all anymore. If you ever believed, you're still a believer and you'll go to heaven. You don't have to even profess to be a Christian. You can change that. You can become an atheist, Hindu. Walter Martin, I don't know how many people ever heard of Dr. Walter Martin. He was a so-called Bible answer man. I have a quote from Walter Martin where he said the same kind of thing, that he knows Christians that are in cults and the occult. Hard to believe. These men are intelligent. These men are popular. But something's wrong. Something's very wrong. We have, among other things, a ministry to prisoners. We send free material to prisoners and to other people. And in prison, that kind of concept, believe it or not, is even taught. In prison. I know that there have been homes broken up over that kind of teaching. I know people have committed suicide because they think if you were ever saved, you can go ahead, kill yourself, and you'll go to heaven. Because once you're saved, you're always saved. In fact, my mother was going to church. It was the midweek service. A man raised his hand. Asked the question, if a Christian commits suicide, does he go to heaven? And because the answer came back in the affirmative, the next day, that man killed himself. It's hard to believe, isn't it? You wouldn't tend to think that a teaching could have that much influence on a person's behavior. But listen, folks, you act in accordance to what you accept as truth. God forbid, but if a Mormon came along and deceived you, you would think the Book of Mormon was Scripture, and you'd start going down to the Mormon church. You'd think that Book of Mormon was truth when it's a lie from the devil. See, you behave in accordance to what you accept as truth. If you get a warning like you're getting now from me, that if you disown Jesus before men, Jesus will disown you. That if you don't endure to the end, you're not going to be saved. And if you believe that, if that is truth to you, your behavior will be much more guarded than it would otherwise. I'd like to say this before I turn the service back over to Pastor Dave. I would love to debate any person in this area or any person that anyone in this area can get to come here to debate me on these issues. I'm telling you, the Bible teaches that Christians are going to have to stand firm to the end, or you're not going to enter the kingdom. If you fall away, praise God. The prodigal, Jesus taught, he was able to come back. Amen? The last two verses in James says you can come back. Romans 11, 19 through 23 says you're able to be grafted back in again, so you can come back. But what happens if you take a gun and you blow your brains out? You can't repent. You're not coming back. Folks, there's all kind of problems out here in this world. This is a test. All kind of things going on. Get in your Bible. Believe it. This is not a game. I'm not here playing a church game. I want you to know that. God forbid anybody here is. You don't come to church because this is something people do on Sunday. I heard a man say one time, don't go to hell through the church. If you're going to go to hell, set your Bible down and go out into the world and sin it up. You're going to hell anyhow. Folks, this is real. Jesus is alive. Let's not play a game. There's souls going to hell everywhere. Let's hold out our hand and help them come to the truth. There's a desperate need like you can't imagine.
you can't imagine.
Well, I could go on and on. Like I said, God bless you. Thank you for allowing me to have your undivided attention for 45 minutes. And especially, Pastor Dave and his wife, God bless both of you. Come on up, Pastor.